It's time for 41 is the Mic, a weekly Chiefs podcast with Nick Jacobs of KSHB 41 and Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. 41 is the Mic starts now.
Welcome, everyone, to 41 is the Mic. It is the off-season. This is Matt Derrick with Chiefs Digest alongside Nick Jacobs from KSHB 41. And before we get really deep into the off-season, Nick, we both wanted to kind of talk about a little bit about what happened with the parade and the rally on Wednesday. A truly tragic situation with the loss of life and people injured. This is obviously something that no one wants to see happen in their hometown, certainly not at a community celebration like this. And our thoughts and prayers are absolutely with the families and the people affected by this. Hopefully this is something that, you know, we can learn from, we can move forward from. The families that are affected can certainly move forward from, it's heartwarming to see so much help and support going out to them, certainly in their time of need, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, what's a bummer about it is that parade, how many people were ecstatic about it, how many people have been waiting for that moment, how that's a once in a year thing, and for that to turn the way it did and for it to have the tragedy that it did for so many families and for so many of their friends, so many of their loved ones, and for it to go the way that it did. I mean, that's the bummer part of the entire thing, is that so many people came there to celebrate such a happy moment and to be a part of a happy moment, and for it to kind of turn the way it turned it did. I mean, I've thought about a lot of the kids all week and their families, and then, you know, obviously the families of everybody that had been affected by it and the tragic loss of life. You know, I mean, all that combined, I mean, there's not really much that you can say in terms of, you know, how to make it better. You just hope that everybody can be able to kind of process it as best as they can and kind of slowly try to heal as long as it takes each and every individual that was a part of that or had experienced that.
Yes, it's something that no one wants to go through, from whatever distance or connection to it that you have. And obviously there have been so many people who have been affected by this, either directly or indirectly. I don't even know what you can say at some point, but, you know, this is, you know, sports is something that we hopefully is something that can bring people together. And it's something that can help us sometimes forget about the rest of the world and escape a little bit. I mean, that's certainly one of the things that sports has done for me throughout my life. And hopefully, you know, what we do here, Nick, I mean, it's not Radio Free Europe, anything like this. We're not solving any problems here. Yeah. We're just trying to have fun. And if there's, hopefully it's what we do and talking about the Chiefs can be a diversion for anyone. We want it to be that. So without further ado, Nick, let's try and move forward and try to have some fun.
Yeah, start our off-season plan that we had for the podcast.
Here. Our off-season plan, and our off-season enthusiast, Nick Jacobs, has been hard at work. what we want to do today is go over our top needs for this team, off-season needs, kind of going into where the Chiefs are before we get to the combine, which is coming up at the end of the month, before free agency, which starts in mid-March, before the draft in April, you name it. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for the Chiefs to start adding talent to this roster. But, you know, Nick and I, this is our first kind of deep dive into maybe where the Chiefs need to add talent for this roster. And so we're going to go over our top needs today. And Nick, let's start with our highest of high priorities. And I'm going to let you have the first pick as your number one priority for this team right now.
The first thing I want to say, no matter what position group it is, I think the number one thing that Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach needs to be going after is guys who are obsessed with football, guys who are obsessed with being a perfectionist, that really drive themselves and have that competitive nature. Because the more guys you have in that roster that are like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and Justin Reed and a lot of those other, and there's other guys along the board, Trent McDuffie, and you know, I could keep going, that are obsessive about getting better and wanting to get better and constantly remain competitive no matter the circumstance, situation, and can tap into that level of emotion and chase that level of greatness. That's the type of football player you want to see. And whether no matter what Matt and I do this off season, we won't be able to fully answer that because we're not going to get that access to the players to be able to ask those questions on a regular basis with every single guy that the Chiefs may be interested in, that it would be after the fact in terms of the draft and everything. So, but I think that's like the number one kind of encompassing thing from a football character perspective, that the more guys you have like that on the roster, the better chance you have to raise the competition level, but also be able to raise that hunger to try to chase that third title. And I think that's why that's going to be really, really important this year, more so than anything, because the Chiefs could be the first team in NFL history to do that. And you need enough guys that want to chase that and aren't satisfied with what they've done and genuinely want that, not just guys who say it, but then on tape show something different. So that's, apologize on that scenic route, but that's what I want to get on the board. So first for me, number one priority is going to be left tackle. We'll see what happens in terms of what the Chiefs do, if they want to put Wanye Morris at that spot, or if they want to get a free agent who may come out there, if there's a draft pick that they got their eye on, but or they want to bring Donovan Smith back, no matter what they want to do. Answering that question is always going to be the most important while Patrick Mahomes is under center, because you need his blind side to be right. And for me personally, Donovan Smith was light years better than where Orlando Brown was, no matter what people may or may not say. Orlando is a very stiff, lumbering individual that would just stretch his arms out and then hope you couldn't run by his long arms. And they lost so much in the run game because of that. Donovan Smith helped bring that back. Wanye Morris helped bring that back with some of his aggressiveness. Donovan, when healthy, is a much better pass protector than where Wanye is at right now. Wanye has just got a lot of reps he's going to need before you feel comfortable with him as a starting left tackle in my book. So what they do at left tackle, to me, that's the number one spot. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I'll have left tackle on my list a little bit lower, but still very high. It's certainly one of my high priorities. But my number one is going to be defensive end and edge rusher. Because when I tell you the Chiefs have five edge rushers, and technically six if you want to include Truman Jones under contract for 2024 right now under team control, you say, hey, they got five, six guys. That's great. But it's George Karloftis, who you feel very comfortable about. It's Felix Anadike Uzomah, whom I'm comfortable with, but I'm not necessarily ready to pencil in as the number two guy quite yet. You've got Malik Herring. Nice, you know, sub piece, but that's what he is. And Charles Omenihue, who is not more than likely not going to be ready to start the season in week one. And then BJ Thompson, who, once again, I mean, a nice developmental piece, but don't know where he's at, and certainly not ready to be one of your two starters, I don't think, at this point. So there's a spot right now where the team just doesn't have anybody to line up opposite George Karloftis. Now, you know, you're hoping that Charles Omenihue was ready to go at some point this season, but I'm not counting on him being 100% this year, because you're coming back from a torn ACL. You know, one, hey, yeah, if you're ready to go in 6 to 9 months, that's great. But the first guy I see that's coming back and is 100% after 6 to 9 months will be the first guy I've ever seen. Usually it takes you that second season before you're really fully healthy. So I'm not counting on a full season of Charles Omenihue being Charles Omenihue. So, you know, this team, I think, not only needs a starter, but they need some depth at that position and some competition at that position. Wouldn't surprise me if they went both free agency and in the draft, you know, looking at possible solutions here. But I obviously, George Karloftis is a great piece to build around. And if you're able to keep and retain some of your own free agents, that's great. But, you know, this team, one of the reasons they have been so good as a defense the last couple of seasons, it's been ranked number two in the NFL in pass and sacks in the last two seasons. And you only can do that when you have an effective edge rush, an effective pass rush. So to me, that's a pretty high priority.
All right, so I'll go on to number two. For me, it'll be defensive tackle. Now, the reason I say defensive tackle is because the Chiefs really lacked power at that one tech position in terms of pass rushing ability, and that would have helped out Chris Jones a lot more this season if he had had that. Derek Nonnie did the best he could. He was a solid run defender, but after he got hurt, other than Mike Pinnell having a really strong performance in the Super Bowl, and who knows where he's going to be at, we still don't know what Isaiah Bugs can be. You're hoping he can maybe factor in as a one tech here this upcoming year. Still don't know what Neil Farrell is or isn't for the most part. Yes, he played some snaps in the playoffs, but you still don't really definitively know. So, and you don't know what's going to happen with Chris Jones financially yet. But I mean, if Chris is gone, you're definitely going to have to address 1 and 3 tech without a problem. And that's going to determine a lot of how the Chiefs run defense can do this year, especially with the power run game that's coming from the Chargers that you're going to face twice a year. The power run game is coming from the Raiders. And then lastly, the potential run game is going to come from the Broncos. So defensive tackle is going to be right up there with left tackle for me in terms of need. Now, I know that sounds weird to say, but they need multiple guys and they need rotational pieces. And if that's Farrell and if that's Bugs, that's fine. But I still would like to see the Chiefs add at minimum 2, if not 3 D tackles to rotate in there, because that caused a lot of their problems in the 49ers game, and just not having guys who can dominate the line of scrimmage and hold the center and guards in place like that really came at a price and cost them some headaches throughout the playoff run.
Yeah, and I'm going to echo you, Nick, because I have defensive tackle at my number 2 need. Yeah. So we're in lockstep agreement there for a lot of the same reasons. Again, it comes back to me is, you know, one, how much of your production do you have back and how much of it do you have under contract for 24? And the answer is not much.
Right.
Really, I mean, of your guys who were on the active roster at the end of the season, Neil Farrell is it as far as who's under contract for 24. I mean, you don't have Chris Jones right now under contract. You don't have Derek Nnadi, Tershawn Wharton. Mike Pinnell was great, but he was a midseason addition, and wouldn't surprise me if Mike Pinnell even went down the same road again. Maybe he just wants to, he's going to be 34 this year. Maybe he wants to do the same thing. It worked out very well for him last season of sitting back until mid-year, seeing who needs some help. You know, Chiefs needed help. He was a perfect addition. He could do the same thing. Just wait until October to see which team, you know, needs some depth of defensive tackle. And specifically, like you talked about, you know, Nick, I mean, now, you know, not knowing Chris Jones's future, I mean, you've got multiple positions that you really need to work on. I mean, if Chris doesn't come back for you, then now you need a 3-tech because he's been like basically the best 3-tech in the league for a while now. But now you're talking about maybe needing a 0 and a 1 and a 3. I mean, you could go, you know, on and on. So that's a huge one to me. I mean, that's why it's number 2 is that it's not, once again, it's not just a starter. It's starter in depth that you need at that spot.
Yeah. And if there's only a couple positions that they pay or do in the offseason, that's going to have to be one of them that they heavily invest in, whether it's draft and free. I think it's going to be draft and free agency.
I have a prediction, Nick. I think our number 3 need might be the same 2.
Right.
I say this because I've seen my list and I've seen your list. You haven't seen my list.
That's fine. I trust you on it.
I think that they might be the same.
Yeah, for number 3, obviously, I got wide receiver. If you didn't have the issues at D-tackle and the question mark at left tackle with who Patrick Mahomes is, wide receiver would be number 1 for me personally. But, you know, it's got to be a little bit lower just because of defensive tackle. But yeah, wide receiver, I mean, look, more than anything else, what they do at wide receiver can take pressure off Rice having to be perfect this upcoming year, and it takes pressure off Travis Kelce and his wear and tear. So, like, the amount of quality you add at wide receiver really is going to be able to kind of balance a lot of what this offense can or can't be. For me personally, I want to see the Chiefs get 2 veteran wide receivers on the open market. I'm not saying you have to break the bank for them. And in future podcasts, we'll go over more of who I've got in mind on that. But, like, you need to add a couple veterans to kind of help Rice along the way. And also veterans that are hungry and want a Super Bowl so that you continue to have that competition at that position to really kind of up that game. But you're going to need to add some speed. You're going to need to add a really good route runner. So I think – and then I would like to see him add somebody – in the draft so that down the road, when you get to a certain point, you're adding a wide receiver in the draft each year to help keep that cost down if you don't want to pay the upcoming receiver, but you also continually develop. So for me, that's kind of a long-term strategy with where the wide receiver market's at financially, is trying to continually add and develop, like the Chiefs constantly do at secondary.
Yeah, and I obviously have receiver as my number three as well. And again, for the, I mean, many of the exact same reasons. And the reason why I would say, and I have defensive end and defensive tackle higher, is that to me, it's, you need starters and depth at that spot. For me, and for the Chiefs at receiver, I mean, you've got a number one receiver. I think that's what Rashee Rice can absolutely become in year two. I mean, this, I fully expect Rashee Rice to be a 1,000-yard receiver in year two. He was close enough as a rookie that he should absolutely be a number two, or 1,000-yard receiver. So you've got that. And then, yes, I've got faith that, you know, with whatever rest of the group that Brett Veach cobbles together, whether they do go out and spend some money, whether they do invest more draft picks, or whether they just try and coach up a lot of what they already have, because they do have a decent amount of players under team control for 2024, which is why, you know, I'm not necessarily expecting a Kadarius Toney or a Sky Moore to be gone. I mean, the Chiefs still have affordable control over these guys, and they may be back. Justin Ross is in that group too. You know, and then you could certainly have a guy like Justin Watson come back. There will probably be continuity in this group, which I know a lot of Chiefs fans probably don't want to hear, that there's going to be a lot of continuity at receiver, but I think there's a decent chance that you will. But yeah, like you said, I mean, they need to fill in, but I mean, let's face it, going forward, you know, hey, they're going to put a certain amount of resources into the wide receiver position. I'm fairly comfortable of that. But I also think that going forward, the Chiefs are going to continue to say, hey, you know, Patrick, you got to elevate guys. I mean, that's why you make the big bucks, and that's why you're as good as you are, and that's why you get paid what you do. You're going to have to elevate some guys around you.
Yeah, so we'll transition to number four here. For me, I have running back. That's going to be a surprise to some people, but the reason I have running back is because where the Chiefs got really fortunate in the playoffs and down the stretch there is that Pacheco never got hurt. Like, he missed the Green Bay game, but I mean, like, generally, if Pacheco got hurt in the playoffs, I don't think they're still playing any of those in the Bills. If he got hurt in the Bills game, they may not win that one. If he wasn't playing in Baltimore, I don't know if they win that one. If he's not playing in the 49ers, 50-50, you know? But luckily, they didn't have to find out that circumstance. But you want to make sure that they really don't have to find out whenever you have time to build up a new roster. And that's why I think they need a speed running back. And there's obviously a veteran I've really got my eye on that I hope becomes available. We'll see in the next couple of weeks. But if he does, like, that's the guy. You go get him. And I think he'll be reasonably priced. And you go get that running back. He takes that offense to a whole different level. And the reason I say that is because having a speed running back to pair with Pacheco, one, it helps Pacheco stay healthier because he's not taking the 20, 30 carry load. And it helps him out to where he's not having to be utilized as much on every single down. So that reduces his wear and tear, and he can finish out his rookie contract without as many bumps and bruises as he started to take after year one and part of year two, whenever he had to have surgery multiple times on the shoulder situation. So you want to do what you can to keep him as healthy, keep that level of energy and that battering ram style running back that he is. You want to be able to keep that together, but you need speed to pair with it. Because where Pacheco really struggled in the 49ers game and has throughout his career is that he doesn't have that. He can't maintain his he's got straight line speed, but if he has to move laterally, it goes away and he just becomes a normal player out on the field. So where you need is you need somebody that can laterally really stress a defense out, really be able to stretch them and get them going sideline to sideline to where they're tired. And then Pacheco comes in and boom, battering ram. And he's even more effective because you had the speed running back wear him out. And also utilize a speed running back in the passing game helps Pacheco, because Pacheco really, he's not dynamic in the open field because he didn't have the lateral ability and he can run somebody over, but the ability to step and shake somebody, that's just not there because that's not where his athletic ability is as a player. That's not his strength and his wheelhouse. But if you got a running back who can do that, boy, you pair him and Pacheco together, that is a tough, tough run game to go against. And it helps that passing game out. It helps Travis Kelce out. And it helps some of those down and distances to where defenses, okay, you want to play back in zone on a regular basis? That's fine. We're going to check it down to our speed back here. Oops, he just got another first down. Tough break, man. You still want to keep tripling Travis here? Okay, we'll check it down again. Oh, hey, look, he just got another 15. You want to keep doing paper cuts? We'll do paper cuts. Check this out. And then that's how you go about that strategy-wise. So I would like to see multiple speed guys paired with Pacheco's power. And, I mean, we'll see with Haison Hall what he can do, because I really liked him coming out last year, and he could potentially help be that guy, kind of the in-between of Pacheco and a speed running back. But, man, if they can get some speed running backs, then I really, really like where that run game could become and evolve for the Chiefs in 2024.
Yeah, you and I have talked quite a bit, Nick, over the last couple of years about, gee, if the Chiefs could just find another Kareem Hunt. I mean,
or Jamal Charles,
and even if you could approximate those two guys with a combination of two or three players, this offense would be something. Running back is one of my needs too. I've been a little bit lower on my list, but finishing out our top highest needs, we have basically a lot of the same ones, just in a different order, because I have offensive tackle at number four on my list, and that's largely because I'm not terribly afraid of Wanya Morris being left tackle. I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that he could probably use a one more year of seasoning if he's the guy. So having a stopgap solution for a year wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world. And obviously, I mean, Juwan Taylor playing left tackle is not out of the realm of possibility for the Chiefs in 2024. I don't think it's plan A, but it's certainly within the realm of possibilities. So to me, it's not as desperate as some other things, but I think it's absolutely one of those things that if they were able to get a veteran left tackle to just supplement them for another year, and if Wanya is the guy and he's ready in year three, I mean, I don't have any problem with that, especially if, you know, he was the swing guy next year that comes in and can play just like he did this year and get some more experience. That's the only tough thing to me, is that it's a lot easier to plug and play a rookie or a second year left tackle when your team's no good. But when you're trying to three-peat, I think you just have a little bit higher expectations there. And like I said, I mean, I think the Chiefs, if they had to go into battle with Wanya Morris as their left tackle, I mean, I think they could conceivably do it. Like I said, might not be plan A, but it may end up happening. We'll see. But I think you definitely look out there and see what's available. And if not, then you're certainly looking for depth, because if Wanya is starting for you, then you definitely want some veteran depth behind those guys. And you have Lucas Niang, Prince Tegawanongo is going to be a free agent as well. So, you know, you do have some depth that you need to address there as well. I know, Nick, that's kind of, to us, a little bit of a dividing line between your highest priorities and then your next group of priorities. So you want to kick us off with the next group of category here?
Yeah. So medium priorities is like, hey, there's still something you could use, but if you don't get it done, like it's not the end of your chance to repeat again or three-peat, whatever you want to call it at this point. Yeah, for me, it's defensive end at that point, because like you've invested in Felix Anidike Uzomah, you've invested in George Karloftis, and like for the most part, you want those guys to be your starters. And so from that perspective, you kind of need to give Felix every chance he can to potentially be the guy on the right side. Charles Omenihu, like you said, I mean, most guys that come back from ACL, takes a minimum of 9 months before you kind of can comfortably use them on the field. And so with that happening to him in January, you're looking probably into September, early October mentally. If he's quicker than that, hey, props to him. But then for most of those guys, that may take another half a season, to get up to full speed. So, I mean, you're kind of hoping You know, you're kind of hoping, hey, maybe playoff time, he's back to who he was beforehand, and then maybe he's not before he hits free agency again by contract purposes. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, because he was a very valuable, versatile player, and he was a big part of their success in the pass rush this year. Very underrated guy. So, you know, you're really hoping that B.J. Thompson can kind of step up, but and kind of be somebody who can maybe be rotational, not just kind of like a special teams type of guy. You're hoping Truman Jones can kind of potentially be something, but you can't bank on hope. So, like, you gotta address the roster while you have the time and the money to be able to add to it. And may the best guys win. And then if there's somebody that's still got some talent, maybe they, you know, maybe you maintain them as an extra number at that position, or you potentially, you know, get a draft pick out of them for down the road. So it's a good problem to have if you can have it. So for me, I still want to see more added to this defensive line. I just know that you have to add it to defensive tackle no matter what happens. Defensive end, I would love to see it, but I need to see those positions that I ranked 1 through 4 happen. If you're having to allot the money, those are the spots you have to allot it to be able to try to three-peat in my book.
Yeah, and I'm certainly with you on the defensive line. And, you know, the one thing that the Chiefs don't have right now under contract for next year are so many of these hybrid guys that they've had so much success with, yeah, with inside and outside capability. I mean, Minnehue was one of those guys, but once again, probably won't have him at the beginning of the season. But, you know, Mike Dana was so good at that. Obviously, mm-hmm. Chris Jones has incredible flexibility. Your ability to put, you know, especially in third downs, to put 4 pass rushers on the field isn't something you have right now. Right. I mean, that's something that they will definitely need to adjust to. Certainly why I think it's high on both of our lists. I'm kicking off my medium priority. My first one is linebacker, and specifically it's somebody to compliment Nick Bolton and Leo Chenal. I mean, I feel after what you saw from Leo this year, that's fantastic. I mean, especially with the way he played at the end of the season. I mean, that is your strong side guy. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that. But where would this team have been without Drew Tranquil this year? I mean, he was so critical, not just when Nick Bolton was down, but even when all 3 of those guys were healthy, and Willie Gay including in that too. It just gave you this tremendous flexibility to have 4 linebackers that you really trust. And the Chiefs, this is not a depth issue. I mean, they've got a lot of young linebackers that they've been, you know, kind of grooming from the undrafted free agent class. So they've got 3 or 4 young guys in that Jack Cochran kind of mold and Cole Christensen. I mean, you can just start rattling them off, but are any of those guys Drew Tranquil? No. And there's not a lot of Drew Tranquils. So, but if the Chiefs did end up re-signing Drew Tranquil, this would be immediately crossed off on my list, but you definitely need a third starter. I don't know that they really have the third starter right now, especially that fits the traits that they need. Not sure that you're really completely comfortable with who your backup Mike linebacker is behind Nick Bolton. So that to me makes this, you know, once again, could you go play with the group that you have? Yes. But there are a couple of opportunities there to me to just really upgrade a starting position and a backup position too.
Yeah. And I'll say in terms of that, actually I'll get to it in a minute. So this is a little bit lower on my list. Next one I'll go on my list. Number 6 is going to be tight end. Now, this one can change. I'm just leaving it there simply because if Travis, knock on wood, you hope it doesn't happen, but if Travis Kelce has to miss some games, in my book right now, they don't have anything else to tight end for the most part. Yes, Noah Gray can be a part of the offense and make some catches here or there, but the Chiefs just don't have anybody else who can threaten in that way, and that's why they're going to have running back and receiver to take pressure off a tight end if they don't have it. Now, people can say, well, what about Jody Fortson? He's got to be on the field. Like the amount of times he's been able to stay healthy has been minimal. Doesn't mean he's not a talented player. Doesn't mean he's not athletic, but he's got to be on the field for you to be able to utilize him. If they had him on the field this year, I don't think Justin Ross sees many snaps, if any at all. And like, you know, so like Jody Fortson, like he could have made a big difference in this offense when they had some of their lulls and Kelce was having the issues he did. In terms of the coverages he's facing and everything, Jody Fortson could have had a really breakout year. So the fact he wasn't available, like that, that really cost this offense in some spots where they really could have used him. And like I said, you hope you can have him be a part of it. But if there's a veteran out there that comes at a comfortable cost that you can kind of have to help kind of be a stopgap to help with Kelce, that's not a bad plan. And if there's a draft pick that you fall in love with, go out and make that play. I'm not going to say that you shouldn't. It's just the guy that I've got my eye on didn't make himself eligible this year, that I think is very eerily similar to Travis Kelce. He's still at Clemson for another year, if I remember correctly. And until that guy comes out, I would go all in on that dude, because like most of them, I was like, man, he's so much like Kelce. Not exactly like him, but in the ballpark to where you're like, he could be in his ballpark. He could at least, you know, be in a closer section than you expect.
Yeah, and you think about it. I mean, Jody Fortson is fascinating to me in a lot of ways. I mean, one is just that he has been around so long that, you know, I feel like he should be like a 6-year veteran. But yeah, because of the way that the NFL tenure rules work and everything like that, he's only going to be a restricted free agent this year. So this is going to be basically year 4 for him coming up.
Right.
But he's also going to turn 29 next season. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's, you can't, as you said, you can't bank on hope. You can't cash that check. So I'm rooting for Jody because he's a good guy and he's been a lot of fun to cover. And I know he's a fan favorite. Mm. So you're rooting for him, but you can't bank on that. And I'm with you. And Noah Gray, I mean, he's had opportunities. He's had opportunities to play when Travis has been out, and he's still the same guy.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, until Noah goes out and has a 4-catch game, which is literally the case because his career high is 3 catches and he's done it a lot of times, but he just can't get over and get that 4th catch, Nick. But yeah, I mean, he kind of is what the back of his football card says that he is at this point. So, yes, tight end is on my list. I shouldn't be going off on it now because it is later down. I guess I'm just underscoring your points, Nick. So
no,
my next spot is one that you hit earlier, but it's running back. That to me is, and for exactly the same reasons you mentioned. I mean, the Chiefs just need some speed at that spot. They got some thunder. They need some lightning.
Mm.
And again, who's your third down back? You know, I mean, if I don't know if Jerick McKinnon's coming back. You know, Clyde's not under contract. You know, right now you'd be going into a game with Denerick Prince, Michael Pirine, maybe, behind Pacheco. And I mean, that's not enough to move the needle for me. I mean, those are nice pieces. Those are nice complementary pieces. But is it that speed guy that you're talking about? Is it that, you know, and it maybe even be a third player that you really need to be the third down guy? Or maybe this is the year that Isaiah Pacheco has to kind of, you know, move into that three down guy position and be somebody that you can count on third down that can pick up a block or go out and pass passing routes. I mean, Jerick's been so good at that, but you know, you need somebody else. And certainly if that, you know, could be a single ball rolled up into one speed guy, that'd be great, but you can't necessarily guarantee that. So maybe the Chiefs do need a couple of players at that spot. So to me, once again, to your point, is it the highest of priorities? Are you going to, you know, not three-peat because you don't have a decent second and third running back? No, but it sure makes life easier for Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. Nailed it, Matt, right there. So we're going into our next subcategory here. It's called minimal investment needed. Doesn't mean that you don't add to the position if you can. It just means you don't throw most of your financial money at it. This is where you either go bargain basement or you go developmental with somebody that's either an undrafted free agent or somebody for vet minimum that wants to chase a ring. This is kind of where you really kind of have this level. And for me, at the number 7 spot is going to be linebacker. So Matt obviously talked about what he did. Matt's not wrong about anything he said at all. I agree with everything that he said. But my assumption is Drew Tranquil's coming back because I think he's cost efficient, and I think they can come to a comfortable number with what his ability is. So I'm not even thinking about the other starting position because, I mean, look, when Drew Tranquil says during the parade it's way better than L.A., then he, you know, he's planning on coming back. He's definitely not going back to L.A. Based on that one. But Yeah, and I think they've smartly invested year by year in the position to where they had Willie Gay, they drafted Nick Bolton, they drafted Leo Chenal, they added Drew Tranquil. You hope they re-sign Drew Tranquil. And then below them, they've kind of constantly still been able to churn undrafted free agents in some of those spots to where they can be a part of special teams. But I think that's where I think if you had a veteran who would come in here for vet minimum to be the green dot behind it, then hey, I'm all for it. And if they can play multiple positions, just like Tranquil potentially did, if he or Nick Bolton have an injury, then that would be phenomenal too. But I just don't see that you need to make more than maybe one roster, maybe two roster moves in that spot. While some of the other positions, I just think you're going to have to throw a lot more at it.
Yeah, and when you talk about, a minimal a position where you need minimal investment and you can get a lot of mileage, one position that you can do that with is number 7 on my list. It's punter. And obviously the Chiefs have had success with that because Tommy Townsend's been a great punter for them, and that was an undrafted guy. And to think about it, there was a time when the Chiefs had both Tommy Townsend and Jack Fox on this team. Jack Fox has just done nothing but lights out in Detroit and been a fantastic punter. I've got faith that Dave Tobe's still got the juice in him to identify a good punter and coach him up, having Tommy Townsend. And I'm assuming that James Winchester's going to be back, even though he's a free agent as well. I can't imagine having put long snapper on this list, so they better re-sign James Winchester, Nick. Chiefs need a punter. And I've kind of already just mentally crossed off the idea of Tommy Townsend coming back, because I feel like if you're a punter and you hire Drew Rosenhaus as your agent, you're not doing that to come back to the world champs. I feel like you're pretty much doing that to get your bag and, and make your own deal somewhere. So I've kind of just mentally crossed off the idea of Tommy Townsend coming back. If he stays in Kansas City, great. Chiefs are set, although they'll be paying a lot of money to their specialists. But I'm assuming that they're going to be in the need the great thing is, if you're Brett Veach, all you have to do is just give a bunch of tape to Dave Tobe. He'll go through it, tell you which ones he likes. If pretty good chance you can probably get him as undrafted free agents, because anybody will come to Kansas City, especially as an undrafted free agent, if they get a chance, I think, especially as a punter, if there's nobody in the job. So maybe it'll be a camp competition. Maybe we'll get to see one of those for a while, Nick. But you got to put at least a little bit of resources into it, because I do think you're going to have a new punter this year.
Man, I'm not going to lie, I don't have anything specialist-wise on my list, because you're typically doing that from an undrafted route. With how good of a coach Dave Tobe is, he's going to coach him up. They may have some growing pains here and there, but the proof is there with Dave Tobe, whether it was Harrison Butker or Tommy Townsend. Like, Tobe's going to get him coached up in that regard. So that's why I really don't have it on the list, because I think you're getting an undrafted guy if you don't re-sign Tommy Townsend. So, I mean, that'll be one of those interesting things. See how it goes. See how Townsend rolls. But for my number 8, I put secondary in general. Now, the reason I did is because the Chiefs literally have been investing in that position. They did a big overhaul, obviously 2 years ago, but they've continued to steadily invest in the position, especially this past year with Jamari Connor and then with Nick Jones. And smartly, I mean, again, it's another situation where you have a coach like Dave Merritt. Dave Merritt is such a good teacher that you don't necessarily have to spend high end, because normally when you have to spend high end for a player, part of it is either because the scouting department hasn't been able to identify the qualities that fit the scheme and what is going to be successful, or the coach is not able to coach them up within a certain level. But I feel like the Chiefs have that down to a science when it comes to secondary, with all that they have in place from the scouting department to Dave Merritt. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they get him from, what round they get him from, or if they get him as a veteran free agent, they just find a way to have them work in that system. And that's kind of a tribute to not only Dave Merritt, but also Steve Spagnuolo and what he's looking for, what Merritt's looking for, and then what Brett Veach and the scouting department. I think they all work collectively really well in that one. You're hoping they can find that road somewhere down the way with tight end, wide receiver, and running back, to where you can keep doing that at a cheap rate. And even, maybe offensive line. Because Joe Cullen, you know Joe Cullen's going to coach up whoever they have on the defensive line. So I went a long way on this one, but I'm not upset if the Chiefs add to their secondary. I'm saying, like, I trust what they're going to do, and they've proven that they've already done the heavy investing in that spot to where they could have some injuries or some guys miss some games, and it doesn't all fall apart like it did a handful of years ago.
Yeah, I don't have secondary anywhere on my list just because I feel pretty confident in what they've got now. Yeah. And I also feel confident that if Brett Veach takes a corner in the fourth round, then it's probably because he found second round talent that slipped by there, and he thinks that they can make that guy even better. But I also feel like that Dave Merritt, you could go Air Bud with Dave Merritt. You could give Dave Merritt a golden retriever from KC Pet Project, and he would turn that guy into a serviceable nickel cornerback. I mean, there is no doubt about it. I mean, if you gave him a stray puppy, he could turn that thing into a dog that's going to have five passes broken up next year, Nick.
How's the dog's tackling ability?
It's corner. You don't have to. I mean, you know, tackling is optional for corners. Although I think he could get a golden lab with some dog in him that could get some guys down. I mean, might get a little nipping at the heels, but, you know, that's what it takes to get the guy down.
Do they have a penalty for that one?
I don't think there is. I mean, I know there's a horse collar. I don't think there's a dog collar tackle, Nick. I've never heard of that. So, I mean, if Dave Merritt and the Chiefs did decide to go Air Bud, they might have to have some rules for that. But I am very convinced that, yes, you gave him a Labrador retriever, he could absolutely turn that into some serious secondary talent.
I just love thinking about the dog signing his contract and they have to do like a paw print because he can't sign his signature.
See, now I kind of think that the Chiefs need to do this. And I say this not even having the secondary on my list, but, you know, I just had to go Air Bud on that one.
This would be way better than Leon Sandcastle promo.
Well, that would be, tell you what, if they did an ad comp campaign where you gave Dave Merritt just a puppy to turn into a defensive back, oh, I would buy whatever product that was. Doesn't matter.
Or adopt the dog.
Exactly. I mean, I think it could do the same thing with a cat, but, you know, probably just be a little more difficult because, you know, cats are stubborn.
Mr. Mittens, man, he is dangerous. Look out for Mr. Mittens, man. His three-cone drill is ridiculous.
I talk about transitions here. Yeah. The one thing I don't think that you can get, I mean, even though I know, you know, like Air Bud eventually became a, you know, receiver, I don't really like the hands of a dog. So a tight end, which is number 8 on my list, I think you actually have to have a human. So...
Go ahead, man.
So I am going to advocate that if the Chiefs do add a tight end help, you know, behind Travis Kelce, that yes, they go with a human. But I've been on the record for a long time, Nick, saying that the Chiefs have been playing with fire, not putting a ton of resources into the tight end position behind Kelce. Because really, I mean, other than Noah Gray, I think James O'Shaughnessy was the last tight end that they drafted. And that was like 9 years ago. I mean, and I get it. Travis Kelce is a Hall of Famer, but, you know, injuries do happen, Nick. Guys do get older, and you've got to be prepared for the future without Travis Kelce. So, I mean, I kind of feel like it's a little bit of the same thing that, you know, I think we'd probably almost say with Patrick Mahomes, too. I mean, there's almost no reason not to take a shot at a quarterback every year to see if there's somebody that you can develop and you can grow into the position and everything and maybe even have some trade currency down the road. And if not, you know, you've got at least a serviceable, affordable backup in your system. But to me, I mean, I would be taking a shot at a young tight end every year. And the Chiefs have kind of, I mean, they have always had some undrafted guys or some, you know, guys on their second teams, you know, coming in. But they, outside of Noah Gray, they really haven't put any draft resources into it and, you know, haven't made anything as far as, you know, trying to acquire a tight end in a trade of any sort. I mean, That's what I would be looking for. No, it's not necessarily a free agent investment because I don't think you're looking for somebody else's tight end. I think you're looking for your next Travis Kelce. And like you said, maybe that's a guy in the draft. Maybe it's this year. Maybe it's next year. But I would keep taking a shot at it until I find it. And if it does end up having to be a golden retriever, then okay, let's go ahead and start that era too.
Well, a spot you wouldn't want a golden retriever to play is going to be my number nine spot. That has interior offensive line, unless you got like a big mastiff or a massive, you know, pit bull maybe.
not many pit bulls tip 300.
But they're muscular dogs, man, that are not afraid to battle royale. But yeah, interior offensive line I have down near the bottom at number nine. And whether the Chiefs do or don't invest in it, that's kind of why I have them as far down as I do, just simply because the reason you still have it is do you have Joe Tooney's heir apparent and Caliendo on the roster, or is Kennard gonna potentially be a guard for you down the road here? What they may end up doing with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith financially. Are they financially long-term going to replace Joe Tooney's number, you know, to where you kind of split them evenly for that year, you know, for next year's re-sign that you would potentially do with them? Or are you going to keep one and let the other walk? So, I mean, all those combined, those are questions that you have. So if you do invest in that, you're investing in the potential that you don't get to keep both of them. So that's something I'll end up keeping an eye on this year. But that's why I kind of have that at a minimal thing, because they've routinely added on the interior offensive line. I think they've had trouble getting more so reliable tackles that they can develop and potentially start more so than interior. I think interior is much easier for them to be able to identify and be able to kind of mold in the way that they do.
Yeah, it's a very good point to me. My next on my list, my number nine need is, it is, I'm going back to kind of special teams a little bit here, well, specifically because it is a special teams role. I would not mind if the Chiefs made return specialist a little higher priority. Right now, I mean, Richie James was your return guy essentially at the end of the season. I'm doubting that he is going to be back next year, which means if you were looking at the roster right now, I mean, you'd be looking at signing some of the similar suspects. I mean, Denarik Prince kind of looked like he was going to be the kick returner last year until his kind of bid fell apart a little bit at the end of training camp. But then, you know, you're talking about Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. It's been a while. I mean, I would even consider Mecole Hardman fitting into this category too, of that the Chiefs haven't had a really, truly dedicated return specialist for a while. I mean, and Tyreek even kind of fit in this category. I mean, the Chiefs for a long time have just simply been, tell you what, Dave Tobe, we're going to put together a 53-player roster. You just pick out which guy you think can return kicks. We're not actually going to go get you a return specialist, but you just take whichever guy you think can do it and turn him into one. And hey, it worked out really well for him with Tyreek. Worked out reasonably well for them with Mecole, but you know, they have not had any breakout plays in the returns game for a while. And I truly think that some of it is just simply because that has been the strategy. Now, you know, are you going to save a roster spot for just a return specialist? Maybe that's just not going to happen. But I think they probably need to put a little bit more effort into it than they have been, especially if they are going to continue, you know, with the philosophy that special teams is something that you should make plays in. I mean, if all they want to do is, you know, hey, we're going to take a knee on every single punt return, we're going to take a fair catch on every single kick and punt, fine. But if you're going to actually try to make plays in that part of the game, kind of need somebody who's done it before, somebody who at least specializes in it a little bit. And hey, Montrell Washington was not bad. I mean, wouldn't mind seeing him back. But if it's going to continue to be an afterthought, I mean, at some point, I think you just got to be, okay, tell you what, we're going to fair catch everything. But if you want Dave Tobe to actually make plays, you got to give him somebody that can make plays.
Yeah, and for the most part, normally a return specialist, especially with the Chiefs, it would have been somebody at running back like Niall Davis, who actually used to be really good at that. And then, like you said, Tyreek was the best that they've ever had at it. But that's to be expected. With his ability speed-wise, with his vision, his ability to cut back, his feel for it. I mean, even before Dave Tobe, Jamaal Charles was awesome at it the couple times he did it. So, I mean, you're always kind of looking for a guy who has that open field vision, and typically you're going to find that either in a running back, receiver, or safety, because Quentin Dipps actually used to be a solid returner too. When the Chiefs had him as a vet minimum free agent, he was really good at that. So I think that's what you want from a quality perspective. Yeah, just I think it's going to come from one of those positions. And look, man, it's a great point, and it helps you from a field position perspective. It's just a matter of how high priority or will they need to make it because of what they have on offense next year. Because having an explosive returner this year and getting the Chiefs offense at the 40 or 50 on a regular basis, that would have helped out that offense tremendously this year while they struggled their way through a lot of stuff. So, you know, that'll be another little sneaky thing that I'll be curious to see who they identify there. Cause I can tell you who I want already if he hits the open market.
Yeah.
For that returner position. And I'll even give it up. It's going to be Agnew from the Jaguars.
Oh, well, there you go. I'd sign up on that.
Like, I don't care what you got to pay him. If you're going to do a return specialist, Agnew's the guy you go get. And whether he can help you a receiver or he can be part of your running back gadget or he can play defense as your seventh DB, I don't care. But that would be that's actually a guy that I, spoiler alert, I'll give away. I had identified as one of the free agents I would love to see in a Chiefs uniform. So that's the type of speed you want, and that's the type of vision you want as a returner. And he's got the respect around the league to where you're doing it for 1 or 2 years before he potentially falls off the cliff athletically. But during those 1 or 2 years, you're going to have some fun on special teams. And then we'll wrap up the list now. For me, I have it under luxury priorities, which you could put punter, maybe. You could maybe put return specialist as well. Maybe golden retriever, I don't know. But for me, the last one's backup quarterback. I know that sounds weird to say, but I mean, Gabbert, I you know, it'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs do with Gabbert in that regard, and then what the Chiefs with what Chris is doing. Chris, athletically, he's a lot like Mahomes. Gabbert's a lot like Mahomes in terms of the big arm. But Chris, athletically, really kind of shines with what Mahomes can do in the pocket. And obviously, he's big on the scout team and helps them out tremendously in that regard. So, like you said earlier, I'm of the belief that anytime you take there's a quarterback you like and you can take anywhere between the fourth or seventh round and really develop them and try to get them up to a certain level, it's just smart investment for draft capital to try to be able to trade them away for more draft capital down the road, or to be able to have somebody who you can turn to that knows the system for multiple years in case, you know, there's a potential injury, which you hope never happens. But the Chiefs this year don't really have a lot of draft capital. So maybe something where they have to forego this year, and maybe it just has to come from an undrafted free agent that they develop down the road. Because even though you and I have named off a lot of things, the Chiefs just don't have a lot of picks to be able to take care of all that. So they're either going to need to shop some players to be able to see if they can get some additional, you know, day three type picks through rounds four through seven, or if they wanted to franchise tag Chris Jones, or they want to franchise tag Legarius Sneed and try to get, you know, day two, day three out of those guys. You could try that too. Eats up a lot of your cap. So, you know, that's, and you're still having to fill the position of moving on without them. But Brett Veach has got a tough situation here. They've only got a certain amount of cap space that they're going to be able to work with. And then you've only got a certain amount of draft capital to really be able to get a lot of this done. So I don't envy the position that he's in right now, but I think whatever they can get done this year really helps them tremendously going into next year with how big a cap space that they have and kind of more of the flexibility. So Matt, any final thoughts? You got anything else on your list or any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think you've kind of prefaced one of the things that I'm expecting of this offseason, which is that Brett Veach is going to be a pretty busy guy. I mean, mm-hmm. whether they are trying to do exactly what you said, I mean, maybe it's, you know, both freeing up some cap space, plus picking up some draft capital. I mean, you know, moving some veterans, some guys that you've developed a little bit, moving on, trading them, and even trades on draft day would not be out of the surprise for me. I mean, and the Chiefs picking at 32, That could be a valuable spot if somebody, you know, if there is a player that's available that some teams want and they want to be able to get that fifth year option, the Chiefs could have some value. It did not really manifest itself in the past years when the Chiefs have had number 32. Maybe it will this time. So I would expect that Brett Veach is going to be busy when it comes to discussing trades. And and one thing that's notable, and, you know, because, you know, people have asked about, you know, the impact of Brant Tillis going to Carolina and what effect that might have on the Chiefs organization. You know, one thing I think for sure is that that will affect a little bit of, you know, the how the Chiefs navigate the trade markets and how they navigate free agency, because Brant and Chris Shea were kind of the point people on, you know, those kind of, you know, they were the kind of the point men for dealing with agents and sometimes even with other teams with the preliminary, you know, discussions about making calls and just seeing what's available, you know, sometimes before Brett would come in. So a lot of that's going to rest on Chris Shea now. I mean, he'll be taking up the majority of that. They won't really be splitting it up as much. Might be a few things that even Brett picks up, but and maybe there'll be some things that other guys in the organization. But I think you can definitely expect a bigger role from Chris Shea this offseason than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, no, that's a phenomenal point in terms of, like, the inner workings of it and kind of people not realizing, you know, some of the evaluations that either Chris or Brant may have done when it comes to contracts and some of the negotiation parts. Now you've just got one guy who's, you know, potentially got to get most of that done or role wise in terms of how to structure a cap for that year, how to space the money out here and the incentive here and the incentive there. So yeah, it'll be an interesting transition with Tillis going off to Carolina. So that another one of those intriguing things to watch, Matt, that we won't know about until later on down the road. Just because, you know, that's not something you find out during the week of or even a couple months of, but you just kind of learn over time during Chiefs training camp or further on down the road whenever, you know, maybe Veach talks about it in a press conference or praises somebody for what they did here or there.
Yeah, and as you're listening to this, I mean, this is going to be the time that the Chiefs really start to get, you know, busy on their draft board. I mean, obviously, the personnel department, the front office was doing a lot of work at the end of the season, looking at film and starting to look at the players who are on this year's draft, because for them, the roster was pretty much cast. I mean, there's not much that they can do in the playoffs other than start looking at the draft board. But you get into this period right before the combine, I mean, that's really when they're going to be hot and heavy setting their board. And so that when they get to Indianapolis, they can really start narrowing down about, you know, who they like and who they don't and who they're taking off their board because they didn't interview well or don't run a three cone drill. You name it, Nick.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a very quick turnaround.
It
less than three weeks after celebrating a Super Bowl, they're already in the thick of building their 2024 roster, and they'll be already in Indianapolis having to put it all together and having to decide what they do or don't like, how this guy's medicals looked, if they can deal with this guy potentially having this issue down the road or not. It's a quick little breather for sure. And, you know, with the coaches, as whenever Andy spoke Tuesday and I asked him what was on the docket here for the next couple of weeks. And he basically was saying how the coaches were getting to basically go away for a little vacation. You know, Steve Spagnuolo commented on going to the state of Florida when he's on the Pat McAfee show. And then, you know, like Andy said, they're going to be right back at it for the combine within a couple of weeks. So, you know, right back in Indianapolis and dealing with that and being in full swing of that and trying to get that handled. And before you know it, free agency is here and it all starts all over again. So it used to be a time, you know, it's funny. It used to be a time where, like, you used to have a runway to kind of get used to of, hey, the Chiefs, you know, they don't, you got most of January to figure it out. What do they got to do here to get to Super Bowl? What are they going to do there to get to a conference championship? And now it's like, hey, like, you know, around Valentine's Day, you know, you don't even get to start really thinking about it for the most part. So yeah, like, I mean, I know the Senior Bowl happened. I know East West Shrine happened and I'm aware of the players' names, but I haven't even got to dive into them yet because, you know, I'm busy, quite busy with my regular job of covering sports in Kansas City and being able to keep tabs on everything going on, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. It's like For people that don't know, for me, from a sports producer perspective, this week, Royals, you know, spring training starts up. And then Sporting Kansas City, they have their first game on Saturday as of right now to start the regular season. You know, college baseball is already in full. It's already started up. College softball is already started up at this point. In terms of high school, state championship wrestling this week. High school basketball is starting to line up. They're going to have districts in the next week. And then Kansas is going to have sub-state coming up here pretty soon. And then, you know, get the Big 12 tournament around the corner and then NCAA tournament. So, I mean, for me, I'm always having to look at, you know, a lot more than just Chiefs and coaches film and all that type of stuff, more so than I think people realize. There's a lot more that's on my plate than just watching coaches film and how many snaps Creed Humphrey may have had or not had that were good or bad, as I know some people have asked from time to time. So, yeah, there's just a lot more I have going on scale wise, but it doesn't mean I won't start looking at draft prospects for the podcast that we have coming up here down the road, free agent prospects, all that type of stuff. Because Matt, I don't know if you saw the shirt, but I am in a Roman Empire state of mind right now. I'm trying to build greatness over here, Matt.
I appreciate that. We all appreciate that. I mean, we couldn't build greatness around here without you, Nick.
I mean, you could, you know, let's not.
It just wouldn't be as great.
You don't know till you try, Matt.
I know, because without you, I'd be out here drafting golden retrievers for the Chiefs.
Well, that would be a potential problem.
I'm just, you know, trying to get over the fact that there's only 17 days between the end of the Chiefs season and the combine. See, so like you said, I mean, I'm used to there being a little bit more of a runway.
Yeah, I wish there was, but there's not going to be anytime soon.
There is not.
I've just accepted that part of my life.
We've accepted that, and we're embracing it because, I mean, today we're talking about the needs.
Mm-hmm.
I think next episode we are going to be talking about who the Chiefs should keep, who mm-hmm. they should maybe let, you know, walk in free agency.
The market, Matt. That's the proper way to say it.
There you go. Test the market.
Let them test the market.
See, I'm just letting them walk. I'm not even letting them test it. I'm letting some of them walk, Nick.
All right.
We've got that. Yes, we will be looking at draft prospects. We will be looking at the beginning of the new league year, mid-March. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up, Nick.
That's right. And do you have a Q&A that you got going on this week or not?
We'll be doing the Q&A on Tuesday night, of course. So
Tuesdays with Matt.
Well, and hopefully, can we have Tuesdays with Matt and Nick?
Yeah, you know I'm going to be on there. It's still my off day. If it's my off day, I got time.
That's why I love you, Nick. That's why we all love you.
I got nothing.
There you go.
I'm not supposed to show any human emotion. I apologize.
Well, between now and Tuesday night, when I see both of Nick and I over at the Chiefs Digest YouTube channel, you'll have that. And then we'll be back in your feed next week with 41 as the mic. We'll be continuing to go through the entire offseason and taking a look at the Chiefs season and some cases telling Brett Veach what he should do. See if he'll listen. I don't know. We'll do our best, Nick.
Never going to tell that guy what to do in my lifetime. Just say, hey,
think if I did tell him what to do, he'd just say, yeah, Matt, that's okay. I think I'll do something else, but thanks.
Or he'd just, you know, show up his hand with all the Super Bowl rings on there and ponder what somebody's saying.
Yeah, that would be the way to go. Well, on behalf of myself and for Nick, we wish you all the best week you can possibly have. Right, Nick?
Until next time, I bid you adieu.
You've been listening to 41 is the Mic, presented by KSHB 41, your home of the Chiefs and Chiefs Digest.